You're listening to the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Radio Network, and this is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you that the King is coming. The Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is located at www.moresureword.com. That's all one word, all small letters, www.moresureword.com. That's www.moresureword.com. On that website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and prepare to endure to the end of this 42-month Antichrist war on the saints. Once again, this is Jim Searcy reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when we see these things come to pass, that we are to look up and know that our redemption draweth nigh. Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Remember, Geithner wouldn't rescue Lehman Brothers, but they would rescue, what, the other firm of Merrill Lynch?
Well, there's essentially one Jewish firm left. They got rid of Bear Stearns as well, and they wouldn't save them, and they did leave Goldman Sachs, who I guess is the most crooked and corrupt of the lot, and they managed to stay alive through this.
Well, it's run by the Knights of Malta. Jeffrey T. DiBiase is one of the most powerful Knights of Malta in the country. He was involved with Goldman Sachs. The Jews don't run Goldman Sachs.
That's the first time I've heard that.
That's right. The Knights of Malta run Goldman Sachs. The Jews do not run Goldman Sachs.
All right. Let's pursue this. On the board of Goldman Sachs, is there a Knight of Malta?
You want to look at Jeffrey, that's with a G, Jeffrey T. Biasi, B-I-O-I-S-I.
And he is who?
He was a major kingpin with Goldman Sachs for many, many years. Just Google him. Check him out.
He was more powerful than the board?
I believe he was on the board. He's a Knight of Christ. He was a personal advisor to the Pope, John Paul II. This guy's a man of power in Goldman Sachs.
Well,
one of my reactions is we have to remember that criminal, Timothy Geithner, who refused to extend a $65 billion loan to Lehman Brothers. He then is responsible for a $1 trillion crash in the market. And I can remember seeing that famous guy with Goldman Sachs, what's his name? He has that program on the TV where he tells people how to buy their stocks. What's his name? But anyway, he couldn't figure out why Timothy Geithner didn't bail Lehman Brothers because it cost the market $1 trillion.
Well, I think the market wasn't in good shape when this was happening.
Geithner could have saved Lehman Brothers.
Could he have saved Bear Stearns?
Sure. Those were the two that went down. Yeah, Merrill Lynch was what saved by Bank of America, which the Jesuits run Bank of America. And J.P. Morgan Chase, the Jesuits by the Knights of Malta run that, because J.P. Morgan Chase has a telex to the Vatican.
Well, the Vatican are very big investors in stocks. It's not shocking.
Yes, but I'm telling you that the Knights of Malta run J.P. Morgan Chase, and they are untouchable. And so J.P. Morgan Chase, what do they make, $25 billion? They're given $25 billion. You got Bank of America, they're given $25 billion. They got Wells Fargo. All these are Jesuit-ruled banks. And they caused this. This was an inside job completely on Wall Street. But the most notable guy that everybody's going to be thinking about is the Jew, Bernie Madoff. And
well,
that's exactly what they want.
My claim that he was the scapegoat.
That's right. So, I mean, who else do you think of with this bank crash? Do you think of anybody else other than Bernie Madoff?
Well, that's one of the big problems, is that nobody has gone to jail. I mean, nobody has gone to jail for what is essentially the mortgage crisis with the Ponzi scheme.
That's right.
That the people that pay today are giving the dividends to the people who paid yesterday who are giving the dividends. It's a Ponzi scheme. And no one has been put on trial for this. But you got to understand, Wall Street has got their fingers right into Congress. They're paying their bills, and nobody's willing to actually seek justice for this.
But that's correct. That's correct, because the Jesuits run the Justice Department.
Uh-oh.
That's right. They run the Justice Department. They run the tax court. They run all of it. That's my specialty, Barry.
Yeah, but you've got to prove it.
I have
not
enough
just to say
it. You need to read my book, and I prove it at the Kennedy assassination. Why did the Justice Department block all these subpoenas to Jim Garrison when he wanted to subpoena Knight of Malta Alan Dulles? And Knight of Malta Clay Shaw? How about Lewis Mortimer Bloomfield, that Knight of Malta in Canada with Permadex? None of those guys would be subpoenaed. The Justice Department is completely in the hands of the Vatican through the Jesuits at Georgetown University. And nobody's going to jail over this fiasco of everybody losing their money in 2008. Nobody.
Well, that's what the issue was that Madoff did. And I think that was the original point Daisy was making. This Texan got a fraction of the sentence that Madoff got. But again, that's the Texan's lack of justice. It was a terrible injustice. But what Madoff got fit the crime, I think.
Okay, that's right. Try Madoff, but let's try somebody else. Let's try somebody like Jeffrey Tibiasi. Let's put him on trial, okay? We will never go to trial. No, you need to find out who he is. I have him in my book. Jeffrey, G-E-O-F-F-R-E-Y, T, period, Biasi, B-I-O-S-I. Jeffrey Tibiasi. In fact, my book is up here, and I'm going to find it right now.
We don't have. I believe there's a Jeffrey Tibiasi, but all I'm saying, it's easy to say that J.P. Morgan is run by the Vatican because they have a telex machine to the Vatican, but you need a lot more.
You read my article, Martin Lee. Who are the Knights of Malta? Read the Roman Catholic Martin Lee's article of 1983, October 13th, Who Are the Knights of Malta? Therein, he will tell you that the Knights of Malta in control of J.P. Morgan Chase have a direct telex to the Vatican, and it's coming from a Roman Catholic. What more do we need?
Well, what's on the telex? What are they instructing them?
Anything they want to talk about, informing the Vatican Knights, the Jesuits, what to invest in, because we're going to crash the market, we're going to have a bear market, we're going to have a bull market. Just get in on it. You're going to make billions, Pope.
So how do we get in on this?
You're not going to get in on it because you're not in the Brotherhood.
Oh, that's depressing.
Here's another thing, Barry. Here's a couple things on Jeffrey Tibiasi on page 970 in my book. Here we see that he was a member of the board of directors of Freddie Mac, okay? The owner, the overseer of Wharton School, where Donald Trump went to school. He's a trustee of the Order's Boston College. He's a director of the Brookings Institute. He's a Knight of Malta with Joseph P. Kennedy Enterprises. He's a member of the Trilateral Commission. He's a trustee of, quote-unquote, the Papal Foundation. He's been vice chairman of J.P. Morgan Chase and CEO of J.P. Morgan. He was a founding member of the Beacon Group. He's a senior member of Goldman Sachs. I mean, this guy...
evidence.
That's evidence. That's right. And so this guy needs to be prosecuted, and another guy that needs to be prosecuted is Peter G. Peterson. Peter G. Peterson is a powerful Knight of Malta, a past leader of the CFR, intimately connected to the Jesuits at Loyola University in Chicago. Those two guys alone, the Justice Department should indict for this conspiracy to defraud the American public with this economic crash in 2008. But they'll never touch.
Yeah, what do you indict them for? Do you have the evidence? Has someone investigated them?
That's what the Justice Department's for, Barry. I know who they're connected with, and there's plenty of brilliant lawyers in the Justice Department and plenty of men that are talking that could easily get enough evidence to indict them. But as they did not do it with the Kennedy assassination, as they did not do it with 9/11, they are not going to do it with this, because the Jesuits at Georgetown control them.
Well, I'm going to go back to basic stuff again, knowing that my listenership would want me to do that occasionally. What is the Illuminati? I'll let Eric start on this. What is the Illuminati?
The Illuminati was a secret society started by the Jesuits after the Jesuits were suppressed with the papal bull Dominic Ac Redemptor Noster in 1773.
Oh, when we talk Illuminati, we're talking about something while Weishaupt was in Franklin, Germany in 1785, where he met with someone named Jacob Frank, who was then leading these Sabbateans, which I won't dive into. They met with Mayor Amschel Rothschild, who was at that point, without his saboteurs in action, just a coin dealer. He had a philosophy, you control a nation's economics, you control the nation. And with these saboteurs, Weishaupt and Jacob Frank, he just spread with his five sons worldwide. That's a summation of my DVD. Eric, go on with the Illuminati.
Yes, and so we must remember that there is no Illuminati without the papal bull suppressing and extinguishing the Jesuit order in 1773. So the Jesuits brought to power, brought up, raised, and birthed the Bavarian Illuminati so that they could continue under this mask of the Illuminati to then unite with certain Jewish bankers, because the Jesuits had a huge fortune they needed to be committed to some hands apart from the Vatican. So they committed a lot of that fortune to the Rothschilds. And then the Jesuits launched the French Revolution with their Jacobins and their Illuminati brought into the Grand Orient Lodge of France. And then the Jesuits, with the French Revolution, they punished the monarch of France because he was enforcing the Jesuit suppression by Louis XV, his grandfather. They then launched the Napoleonic Wars, and Napoleon punished all the monarchs of Europe that had suppressed the Jesuits, kicked them out of their countries, including the Knights of Malta. And then after the Napoleonic Wars, in 1814, 1815, the Jesuits are reinstituted by the Pope, and they begin to further their quest of world government, taking back the papacy, and the Illuminati becomes a less important body. Because now that the Jesuits were revived, they will still use it, but it's not that important as it was then.
It's kind of important.
Well, it is important, but it's not of the preeminent importance it was during the French Revolution, because the Jesuits run the Illuminati, and the Illuminati has infested all your Grand Orient Freemasonry, your Scottish Rite Freemasonry, and controls it all. That's why I call it Illuminized Freemasonry. It's Jesuitized.
Well, I'm going to dive in, but there was a first-class clash. This was when Zionism was in its diapers. In 1898, Kaiser Wilhelm came to Jerusalem. That was not an easy trip in 1898, putting it mildly. But he was there. He laid the foundations for three churches. The big one is the Church of the Dormition on Mount Zion. Now, by the way, it was a copy of Charlemagne's Aachen Cathedral. This was the Vatican, really, really just what a symbol. On top of the whole city, there was the Dormition Abbey. It's there to this day, of course. But the big one.
Well, also, it's important because... Excuse me.
Go ahead.
Because, Kaiser Wilhelm II was completely in the hands of the Jesuit order. He fires Bismarck in 1890, the great enemy of the order. He then readmits the Redemptorists into Germany in 1893. And in 1917, he readmits the Jesuit order then, when they had been expelled by Bismarck and Kaiser Wilhelm I in 1872. So Kaiser Wilhelm II was an absolute bagman for the Jesuit order.
Well, we're going to get into why World War I really started, but a big one in 1898, following different entourage, same timing, following him to Jerusalem was the father of modern Zionism, Theodor Herzl. Now, this is beyond coincidence. This is way, way, way beyond coincidence. And again, this DVD of mine dives into it a bit. In Jerusalem, in November of 1898, was the most powerful leader in Europe, Kaiser Wilhelm, and the father of Zionism, Theodor Herzl, and barely anybody knows this tremendously historic meeting that ultimately led to World War One.
We also cannot forget that Theodor Herzl had an audience with the Pope in 1904, shortly before he died.
Mm-hmm. Keep talking. I don't know this.
Yeah. Theodor Herzl was an agent for the Vatican in setting up the Nation of Israel for the purpose of really reviving Rome's Latin Kingdom of Jerusalem. That's what he was about. And that's why the Jesuits incited the Dreyfus Affair in the 1890s, so that out of that, Theodor Herzl could say, we need to have an own nation for ourselves, which I believe the Jews have a right to their nation, but he was secretly an agent for the papacy, otherwise he would have never had an audience with the Pope. The Pope would never give anybody an audience that didn't serve him.
Yeah, that one's, he's had audiences with a lot of people who I don't think served him. But nonetheless, well, I think Herzl, whether knowingly or not, mind you, was serving the Sabbatean order, and that's a whole different topic, and I can't talk about it. It's too long.
Just remember, Jacob Frank was baptized in the Catholic Church.
Well, he baptized this whole diocese.
That's right. All of his followers were all baptized.
Thousands of these Jews became Catholics, but they were Sabbateans.
Right.
My
point is they're serving the Pope, Barry. They're busy serving the Pope. Well, they're the enemies of the Jews.
Oh, there's no question about that. They're the enemies of the Jews. The worst thing that ever happened to Judaism was Zionism. Hands down.
You mean labor Zionist?
Yes, but who had time to differentiate at that moment?
Of course, again, Daniel Pipes is one of them.
Daniel Pipes is CFR more.
He's busy serving the Pope because he's intimate buddies with Peter G. Peterson, that Knight of Malta and slave of the Pope.
Well, Peterson, again, is CFR.
He's Knight of Malta, Barry.
You can be both. Look,
CFR is controlled by the Knights.
This conspiracy has a little bit of both.
The Archbishop of New York City is the master of the CFR. He runs it. That's why you have Joseph A. O'Hare, one of the most powerful Jesuits in this country, who's a presider in the CFR. He's a former president of Fordham University.
What's his name?
Joseph A. O'Hare.
I'll look him up. Now's not the time. It's a new name for me. He's the Archbishop of New York, is the way I heard it.
That's right, the Archbishop of New York, who is now Timothy Dolan, he's the master of the CFR. The CFR has always been controlled by the Archbishop of New York, beginning with, Cardinal Hayes in 1921.
Officially, that's not the CFR's history. Officially, you have a whole pile of people who got very, the Bush family was Preston. Prescott Bush was a founder of the CFR, for example.
Why, of course, they don't want to have the Archbishop of New York founding the CFR. It would be obvious he runs it. So they get notable other men, high-level Masons, certain Jews involved. They don't want that connection. But when you have, for example, Cardinal Joseph Bernardin, who was the second most powerful churchman in the 80s, who's the Archbishop and Cardinal of Chicago, he's a member of the CFR. Then you have all these other Knights of Malta, like George J. Tennant, Peter G. Peterson, Alexander Haig. All these guys are papal knights. They're the real power in the CFR, and these Jews are just merely show work to make everybody think the CFR is run by Jews.
Oh, he has not got the subtlety at all.
That's right. These are just papal court Jews, Hofjuden, in the CFR doing the bidding of the Jesuits who run Fordham University there in New York, who oversee the Archbishop of New York City.
Well, when you get people who are really big in the CFR, Kissinger is real big in the CFR.
Another Knight of Malta.
Leslie Gelb and Richard Haass, they're the spokespeople for the CFR. Now, they're not just window dressing. this is Sabbatean jewelry, and it's a separate. They're not just window dressing.
Well, no, the Sabbatean Jews, as I, you and I disagree, I maintain the Sabbatean Jews are absolutely subordinate to the Pope since no later than their baptism in the Catholic Church when the King of Poland oversaw it all.
Well, again, Kissinger wasn't baptized, either was Haas or Kelb. Again, Sabbatean Jews is a problem as well. I would just call them Sabbatean outright. But what you've got in the diplomatic circles of the United States are Jews who are viciously anti-Israel. The CFR is viciously anti-Israel.
And so is the ADL. The ADL, its only reason for its existence is to incite anti-Jewish fury. That's why the ADL gives the Augustine Cardinal Bia Award, and he is a Jesuit, a high Jesuit, involved in the Eurasian Holocaust and a Knight of Malta.
Well, you're talking the Anti-Defamation League.
That's right. Anti-Defamation League is run by another Knight of Malta. What's his name? Abraham Foxman. He's a Roman Catholic Knight of Malta.
He's not, well, he might be a Knight of Malta, but Abe Foxman is...
Oh, no, he's Catholic.
No, he's Jewish.
He's a racial Jew, he's a religious Roman Catholic, and you can see it on the web.
No, he runs... No, this is Benjamin Foxman and Abe Foxman, that whole gang. Well, maybe I'm wrong.
Or...
I've never heard of...
It's like Bronfman. Bronfman's another Knight of Malta.
Bronfman is also in the gang of the CFR.
Oh, yeah.
Tremendous
right.
damage to Israel.
That's right, because they want to continue the persecution to, in order to ultimately, they love to piecemeal killing off the Jews, while at the same time, they want to foment a war there, and in that horrible conflagration, to then destroy whatever's on the Temple Mount so they can rebuild the Temple. That's what they're about.
You think that the Bronfman brothers, Charles and Edgar, are really just investing in Israel in order to bring it down to rebuild the temple?
Of course, they're rebuilding Israel. They're investing in it, but they're also planning on a war there because the temple is keystone to the revived Latin kingdom of Jerusalem, because that's what it is in the eyes of all these knights. You cannot have the kingdom of Jerusalem without having a temple there, and that's why the Knights Templars want to build it and are planning on building it.
This gets complicated. Because it was the Bronfmans who did sue the Vatican for the Holocaust. Now, they stole it. Charles Bronfman just stole the money. He didn't. Billions and billions of bucks, which he pocketed. And nonetheless, he did sue the Vatican.
That's all good window dressing. It makes it look like the Jews are against the Vatican. That's all for the deception of the pedestrian. Secretly,
well, the
they're working together.
Never saw their money. And that he's a thief, we have no doubts. He put a few ads in papers, if you're a victim, send a letter to us and we'll get the money. But he kept it for himself.
It makes it look like he's concerned about the Jewish people. He couldn't care less about the Jewish people.
Well, he's
serving the Pope
on behalf of the Jewish people.
Mm-hmm. That's the papacy. I didn't say all Roman Catholics. I said that's the papacy. I'm saying that he will never allow Israel to be destroyed because that's his revived Latin kingdom of Jerusalem. And if they're going to rebuild a Hebrew temple there, there must be Jews in the land. There will be enough Jews left. There will be Jews left and the 12, 13 tribes left to inherit.
The emigration rate from Israel is out of this world. If you have a war like that, you'll have a demoralized people who will go anywhere, and they won't stay in Israel.
Okay, well, I'm saying that, number one, the kingdom, the Latin kingdom of Jerusalem that was revived in 1948 is not going away. Number two, there's going to be a temple built on that Temple Mount. Number three, there's going to be a terrible Jewish persecution here in North America, just as Rabbi Kahane said there would be, for which he was killed the moment after he said it.
Well,
and
no,
number
the
four,
planning was years... No, that's not true. The planning, it's all connected to 9/11, by the way, but the planning to kill him was at least a year and a half, 2 years in the making. He wasn't shot for making that statement.
I'm saying that the statement that he made, they know what he was saying. They know he was warning American Jews who to leave this country.
And well, the Vatican, Jews aren't leaving the country.
What's that?
You know that every year about 31,000 Israelis go to live permanently in the United States. Maybe 3,000 Americans move to Israel. Nobody is rushing from America to Israel. It's exactly the opposite.
That's right,
because
you see, the Vatican has made it so miserable for Jews to live in Israel that only the most hardy, stern Jews are going to gut it out. And the ones who leave are coming to North America for the killing floor.
The what?
The killing floor, right here in North America. What Europe was to the Jews in the 20th century, North America is going to be the Jews in the 21st century.
Well, you have to really overturn an awful lot of obstacles to get another Holocaust going.
Like what? We have the Patriot Act. We have the Department of Homeland Security. All we need is a terrorist event, and we're going to be in complete martial law where the dictator is going to do exactly what he wants to do.
I would say that America is certainly, I won't even tell you the headaches I've got economically, and it wasn't that way when I got here. People are certainly getting frustrated. They're running out of money. They're running out of work. All this is happening. But turning all that into a Holocaust, there are obstacles. Americans are not natural killers.
No, they're not. But I tell you this. The white man of America is furious. The white men have nothing but discrimination and racism and all these laws ruining the white middle class. And they're angry. And all it's going to take is one more event, and they're all going to be running into the Tea Party movement, and the Tea Party movement, I maintain, is the beginning of the fascist movement. Absolutely. The Jesuits have 28 universities in this country. They run this country from stem to stern, and they haven't changed. They're going to do here what they did in Europe.
Yeah,
That's exactly right.
What I heard as well. Look, I'd say the real worry of a Holocaust is in Israel. Israel has got, it's got a three-front war. It's got Syria, Hezbollah, and Hamas, not to mention long-range missiles from Iran. If Egypt goes, it's got a 200-mile border that it doesn't know how to defend anymore. Israel is the one being choked to death, not America.
No doubt, right now, but America is being driven into the white people of America are being driven into fascism. And one more thing with regard to Israel, you mentioned that it's being choked. Indeed it is. But the Knights will never allow it to be destroyed. And a classic example of that is when Alexander Haig, who was a high general in the military at the time, of the Yom Kippur War, brought in the necessary weapons to defeat the tank attack of the Egyptians. Had not Alexander Haig acted quickly, Israel would have been in serious trouble. So the Knights saved their kingdom of Jerusalem.
Well, again, Kissinger was the Secretary of State or the National Security Advisor, and he was doing everything in his power to make sure that Israel lost. I've written about that.
No, he said he wanted to bleed
the story.
He said he wanted to bleed the Jews, but not the destruction of the country.
Yeah, well, he didn't refit Israel. He would have done more than bleed them. But
Alexander Haig saved the day, and he's an out of Malta. And his brother Francis Haig is still a high, powerful Jesuit at Loyola Marymount University in Baltimore.
Right. Now, it's a complicated story. Well, Haig, you remember from the 73 war, I hate to admit it, but Haig saved our asses and stuff like that. But again, the broad picture is very complicated.
John Loftus details that very well in his work, A Secret War Against the Jews.
Yeah, but that was a very flawed book. Very flawed book.
But he did a good book. On that part, he did okay with Alexander Haig. I mean, that's a fact.
Well,
my point is that the kingdom of Jerusalem is not going to be destroyed. This place will go down before Israel will ever be
done. Well, I don't know. All I know is that Israel's morale is really not as strong as it used to be, even in 73. The Jews will, if they see their families, my families, their families, it's my family, in mortal danger, they'll get the hell out of there. Israel isn't worth it. not to have another Holocaust.
Well, EU, and I know you're not going to believe this, but the EU is going to be the new protector of the Latin Kingdom of Jerusalem.
Yeah, that's not really a heartening moral either. This is a meeting of the minds. It's not a... I'm not sure if he asked if somebody dislikes him, with it, which is ridiculous.
I'm just teasing, okay?
This is a meeting of the minds. And
that's right.
It's bad here, but I left Israel because I was dead. Literally, yeah. On the hospital table, dead. So
yeah, but you see, you've been a bad boy, Barry. You
yes,
were openly resisting that, and so that's you're unique. But you're not the typical Jew living in Israel.
I deserve to be punished.
That's right.
Right. look, it's not great anywhere. But again, if you're talking Holocaust, I'd say Israel is the better bet here.
Nope. There will be Jews killed there, but it's not like here. Not like the Department of Homeland Security has had a contract filled for the purchase of 200 million 40 caliber rounds. What are they going to do with 200 million rounds?
I guess they'll use them.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. And they're going to use them right here.
Oh.
You're listening to the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Radio Network, and this is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you that the King is coming. The Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is located at www.moreshoreword.com. That's all one word, all small letters, www.moreshureword.com. That's www.moreshoreword.com. On that website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and prepare to endure to the end of this 42-month Antichrist war on the saints. Once again, this is Jim Searcy reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when we see these things come to pass, that we are to look up and know that our redemption draweth nigh. Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus.